Our Bible reading for today can be found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And it can be found on page 823 of the Bibles in the pews. Mark, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt which has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the field. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends the reading.
Well, the half hour before the service starts is often a very busy time. There's communion set up to check. People are going over instruments and music, checking the Bibles marked at the right place, tinkering with the sound of the computer. There's a lot going on. And I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Imagine that earlier this morning, as everything's getting ready, I notice there's Simon and Arlene. They've got here early, they're sitting down, they're not busy with anything, and I need a hand. Now, I know them well, they're regulars here, I'm sure they wouldn't mind me asking for a hand. So imagine that I went up and said, "Oh, Simon and Arlene, I've got a favour to ask. In a house 5 doors up Glenira Road, there's a house with a red bike in its front garden. I want you to go up there, get the bike, wheel it down and bring it to me here in the church. If anyone in the house asks what you're doing, this is what you should say. The pastor needs it and will send it back soon." Well, I wonder how they would feel about that request. I mean, what could go wrong? Well, notice that in my question, I didn't say God needs the bike. Because in our passage, the disciples weren't indicating that either. Jesus told them to say, "The Lord needs it." Now, the word "Lord" was applied a lot to Jesus, but it was a word in Jesus' day that meant a master or someone in charge of property and people. Think of the old English word, the Lord of the Manor. And so when the disciples were told to say, "The Lord needs it," it was like they were saying, "My boss needs it. The Lord of the Manor needs it." It wasn't necessarily saying that it was God. I'm often astonished at the boldness and confidence of these disciples, that they what they must have had in Jesus to follow this instruction: go to the village, start untying that donkey, and then the moment I'm sure they were hoping wouldn't happen, did. Some bystanders are there. It's a small village. Everyone knows everyone. Excuse me, what are you doing untying that donkey? The Lord needs it. And they were allowed to take the donkey. Well, sometimes I wonder if Jesus' language was intentionally ambiguous. Maybe the disciples meant the Lord Jesus needs it, and the bystanders heard the Lord of the Manor needs it. But maybe God just moved the hearts of those bystanders so that it would all work out the way Jesus had said. Either way, it's a great sign of the amount of trust the disciples had come to have in Jesus, in his authority and in his power. They obeyed, and sure enough, God had it all worked out. And now the disciples were ready to celebrate Jesus. They were ready to celebrate his kingship. We know from the rest of the Easter story that they didn't really understand fully yet who Jesus is and what he came to do. But they had grasped a lot. The disciples and the crowds were waiting for a saviour. They were waiting to for someone to save them from Rome, save them from oppression, save them from poverty and persecution, save them from sickness and disease. And so as Jesus came, they cheered. They threw down their cloaks. Their cloaks. Now, the Jews had an interesting law about cloaks. If you took someone's cloak as security for a pledge or a promise, you had to give it back before nightfall. You were not allowed to keep it overnight. Why? Because it was such an important possession. You would use your cloak as a blanket to sleep in at night. You would wear it as your outer garment during the day. And unless you were rich, you only had one. So to throw down your cloak on the ground to make a pathway for someone was a significant act of devotion and submission and showing your honour for that person. So some of the disciples put their cloak on the donkey's bareback. Others, disciples in the crowd, threw their cloak on the ground for the donkey to walk over. Others were spreading palm branches that they'd cut in the fields. This wasn't just a spontaneous celebration, because they knew Jesus was coming and they were ready, having brought their palm branches, ready to celebrate, ready to cheer, ready to welcome. These days, we might roll out a red carpet for a celebrity, but no one cares about the carpet itself. In the cost of the whole event that the celebrities are turning up to, the carpet is simply a bit of decoration. But here, the pathway is made from the cloaks people have taken off and thrown on the ground, and from the branches they cut out in the fields and brought to the city. They are investing in this celebration. It's meaningful, and it's joyful, and it's full of hope. They're shouting, "Hosanna!" In Jesus' day, Hosanna was already a religious word. Hosanna is in the Aramaic language. Mark wrote his gospel in Greek, and all the other conversation on that day, Mark translated into Greek. But Hosanna, he left in the Aramaic, because there was no good equivalent word in Greek. Hosanna was a prayer, crying out to God to save his people. So the people are crying out to God to save them through Jesus. They're crying out to God pre-Easter to save them through Jesus. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. What a profound prayer. The people did not yet fully understand who Jesus is and what he came to do. And the disciples didn't yet fully understand who Jesus is and what he came to do. But Jesus knew. And so he rode that donkey as the people cried out, "Hosanna, God save us through this blessed one who comes in the name of the Lord. God, save us through this blessed one who will bring in a kingdom in the line of David. God in highest heaven, save us through this man." They did not know the true meaning of what they said, but Jesus did, and we do. This Jesus truly is God's forever King. This Jesus who we worship came in the name of the Lord and saved us. He came from the line of David and fulfilled all the promises God had made to his people. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. King David was sometimes referred to as a son of God, but Jesus is the Son of God. Well, let us turn our thoughts back to Oak Tree in 2018. What will we lay down in our worship of Jesus? Those who saw imperfectly followed his command even when it was scary and took courage and commitment. It took obedience. Those who saw imperfectly threw down their cloaks on the back of a donkey and on the roadway, showing a willingness to serve and a willingness to humble themselves before the king. Those who saw imperfectly cut branches from the fields, and came prepared to worship and to celebrate. Many of them fell away in the end. Some gave up when they realized the kingdom Jesus leads is not political or earthly. We know the fuller truth of the resurrected Jesus. Let us not fall away. Let us not take Jesus for granted, but be inspired to worship and celebrate and show our committed devotion to our King. Is Jesus asking something of you that takes courage or commitment? Today you can set your face in obedience. Yes, Lord, I will have the courage to talk about you with that friend you've placed on my heart. Yes, Lord, I will step out in faith in that ministry or service you're calling me to. Yes, Lord, I will give up that thing which is a stumbling block in my walk with you. Yes, Lord, even my most precious possessions are yours. I'm a steward of all you've given me, and I hold it in trust. I honor you with all that I have. Yes, Lord, when planning my life and my days, I will plan how my life can be lived in your service. Yes, Lord, my master, my boss, my king, my God. Yet also, those who saw imperfectly recognized in Jesus their hope for help and salvation. Perhaps today you're carrying a burden or pain. Perhaps the work being done in our churches and in our community and in our laws on child safety and people safety has come too late for you. Maybe the hurt or harm has already been done. But today you can call out to Jesus, not just in hope that he might help and save, but in confidence that he longs to, and he desires to bring that healing and help. Or perhaps, like many in the crowd that day, you've never truly seen who Jesus is. Perhaps, like them, you've never before today called out to Jesus as your King and Lord and Saviour. And today you have an invitation to join the kingdom of God, to choose to follow Jesus. Whoever you are and whatever your journey, today let Jesus be your King and Lord and Saviour. Paul wrote in the letter to the Philippians that God highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If the crowds on that day could so celebrate King Jesus, how much more should we today? Let us worship in joy, in celebration, in confidence, and with wholehearted commitment and devotion. Jesus is our King and our Saviour. Hosanna.